Well, we're continuing this morning our series of studies in Colossians. And it's a series, if you remember, that I've called Living with Christ as Lord. Because Colossians is all about who Jesus is and what he's done for us and how that should show itself in our lives, how that should show itself in how we live. And if you were with us last week, you'll remember that we thought a bit about some false teaching that had wormed its way into the church in Colossae. Teaching that kind of said, if you want to be a real Christian, if you want fullness of relationship with Jesus, and if you want to be fully forgiven your sin, then you need to believe in Jesus. But there are also other things you need to do. You need to keep a whole load of rules. You need to follow every detail of the Old Testament law. And we saw last week how Paul was really quite strong in his response to that false teaching. He called it hollow, he called it deceptive, and he said it's not based on Jesus. And the big point from last week was not to let anyone trick you into thinking that way, because it is nonsense. Don't let anyone take you captive with that sort of nonsense teaching, said Paul. Don't let anyone kidnap you. That was the phrase from last week. You need to trust in Jesus, and you do not need anything else, says Paul. Now, today, there are two further things that Paul says we need to watch out for. We need to not let anyone do to us. So last week, it was don't let anyone kidnap you from verse 8. Today, it's don't let anyone judge you from verse 16. And don't let anyone disqualify you from verse 18. So don't let anyone judge you. Don't let anyone disqualify you. Now, actually, although that looks like two separate things, there's a sense in which Paul is saying the same thing twice, just in slightly different ways. And it's really, don't let anyone tell you that because you don't do certain things, or because you do others, or because you don't have particular sorts of experiences, don't let anyone tell you that that means that you're not good enough, or that you're not really a Christian. Don't let anyone judge you. Don't let anyone say you don't qualify. Now, hang on a minute, you might think. Does that mean that Paul is saying that what we do and what we don't do really doesn't matter? Is he saying that it's just up to us to do whatever we want and no one has the right to comment on that? That sounds awfully like the voices that express the spirit of our age today, doesn't it? I mean, isn't that the big orthodoxy of the world around us? That it's for us to decide what we do and don't do, and it's not for anyone else to say whether it's right or wrong? Is Paul just saying that? Well, no, that's definitely not what Paul is saying. And we'll see really clearly when we get to the next chapter next week that he has a lot to say about what we do and don't do. So verse 5 of chapter 3, for example, he says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality and impurity and lust and evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. So no, Paul is certainly not saying that what we do and don't do doesn't matter. But what he is saying is that following rules on the one hand, or having religious experiences on the other, both miss the really important thing, which is our relationship with Jesus. So the big surprise from last week, if you like, was that living with Christ as Lord isn't first and foremost about what you do and don't do, but it's about trusting Jesus and him alone. That was the big surprise from last week. And today it's similar. Living with Christ as our Lord is about relationship with him, long before it's about what we do or don't do. Well, let's have a look at the passage and let me try and show you that. So firstly, Paul says, don't let anyone judge you for not following the rules. This is verses 16 and 17. The false teachers in Colossae were saying that to be a proper Christian, you had to believe in Jesus and you had to follow the Old Testament law, which included rules about what you eat and drink, rules about particular festivals, rules about the Sabbath day, and so on. But what does Paul say? Well, verse 16, therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. And we saw last week, didn't we, how Jesus has cancelled the power of the written code with all its laws. He's cancelled its power to condemn us. And in the light of that, that's why he says, therefore, at the start of verse 16. So Jesus has cancelled those rules. Therefore, don't let anyone judge you for not following them. And in the next verse, verse 17, well, that's absolutely key to us understanding it right. You see, you could be forgiven for thinking that all this looks as though God has kind of changed his mind on things. You know, in the Old Testament, he really cared about people not eating pork, for example. But now it looks as though he's mellowed a bit and he's happy to permit the odd bacon sandwich. And so Jesus has cancelled the written code. But actually, that's not what's going on. It's not that God has changed his mind. Have a look at verse 17. That means these rules about food and festivals and so on. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. So these ancient rules were never the big deal in their own right. They were simply there to point to Jesus. They were, if you like, the trailer to the film. But now that the film has come out, the trailer is no longer particularly worth watching. It's no longer the big thing. So Paul is kind of saying, don't get caught up with the trailer because the film has now been released. They were pointing to Jesus. Jesus is now here. So the false teachers in Colossae were saying, you've got to follow these rules. And Paul is saying, it's not about the rules. It is about Christ. What matters is not your attitude to bacon, but your attitude to Jesus. And we'll come back to this in a moment. But let's now look at the second thing that he says you mustn't let anyone do to you. And we'll see a similar point coming out there. So secondly, he goes on to say, don't let anyone disqualify you for not having the experiences. It seems that these false teachers were in some way or another having weird and wonderful experiences that they were understanding to be something important and something spiritual. They were seeing it as they were, in some sense, encountering angels. That's how they were describing it. And it must have looked so appealing. You know, if life's hard and you face some discouragements and perhaps your quiet times seem a bit dry and the presence of God isn't overwhelmingly obvious to you. And suppose there are some in the church who are saying, oh, if you do this and if you don't do that, and if you avoid these foods and you adopt these practices, then you will have the most amazing spiritual encounters too. And perhaps they love talking about their experiences. So verse 18, going into all sorts of detail about what he's seen. And perhaps they might be looking down on you. You don't have that sort of experience. Your Christian life is much more ordinary and less exciting. And maybe they're looking down on you and kind of going, oh, yeah, you're not really a Christian. You're not the real deal at all. If all of that is going on in your church, then, well, you're going to feel a bit tempted to join them, aren't you? You're going to say, oh, if I can do this and not do that, I get this buzz. Wouldn't that be lovely? I could do with a buzz because life is hard. But do you see what Paul says will happen if you go down that road? Or at least, do you see what he says has happened to those false teachers? Have a look at verse 19. He has lost connection with the head, from which the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. Do you remember back in chapter 1 that Paul had explained that the head is Jesus and we are his body connected to him? So he's saying these people who are going after these weird spiritual encounters have lost connection with Christ. They're no longer part of him. Their head, if you like, has been cut off. They're no longer part of his church. And they might be saying that they are the real Christians because they've got these great experiences and so on. But actually, Paul is saying they no longer know Christ. They aren't Christians at all. Once again, then, once again, it's all about relationship with Jesus, isn't it? So with regard to the rules, it's not your attitude to Bacon, but your attitude to Jesus that counts. And now with these experiences, the experiences aren't the big thing. It's about whether you're still connected to Christ, whether you're still trusting him, whether you still love him. And if we read on, we'll see Paul really drive this home. So when Christ died, we saw last week, he has cancelled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. We saw that last week in verse 14. And in our baptism, there's a sense in which we died with him and were buried with him. We saw that in verse 12. Now, says Paul, in our passage today, verse 20, if that's the case, if Christ has cancelled the written code, if you've died to the written code, why would you still follow those rules? Because they're based on human commands. They're not going anywhere, verse 22. So why follow them? Well, you can understand why people would follow them, can't you? In verse 23, it's so tempting to follow them because they look great. They do indeed have an appearance of wisdom, says Paul. You see people doing this, see people living these incredibly strict, ascetic lives and having these amazing experiences, you'd say, wow, what a wise, great person. But it's only an appearance, says Paul. And if you're bumbling along in your Christian life and you're trusting Jesus and you know that he's forgiven you, but that all seems a bit ordinary, and if you come across someone who has all these rules and seems to have these amazing experiences, well, it is tempting, isn't it? It looks like they've got so much more than you. But, says Paul, they don't lead you to Christ. They lead you away from him. And what matters, again, is Jesus. It's not the rules that you follow that matter. What matters is Jesus. It's not the experiences you have that matter. What matters is Jesus. Now, all of that in and of itself is really important that we understand. But it's actually most important that we understand in how it introduces us to the big things we're going to start to see next week. And I want to use our last few minutes, really, to go back to verses 17 and 19, focus on them, and see how they are going to tee up what we're going to see in chapter 3. Because if you were to just read on into chapter 3 now, there is a real danger that it seems a bit confusing. Because in our passage today, Paul seems to say two things that are contrary to what he says next week. So firstly, today he says the rules don't matter. But next week he says put to death sexual immorality and so on. That sounds a bit like the rules do matter. And secondly, today he said experiences don't matter. But next week, he talks about things that are experiential. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, he says. That's talking about an experience, isn't it? You experience the peace of Christ. So what's going on? Why is there a difference? Why does chapter 2 and chapter 3 seem so different? Well, they're not different. You see, what we've seen today will help us understand what we are going to see. Because what we've seen today is that it is all about Jesus. And that is what makes the difference. And to try and explain this, I'll give you an example from marriage, okay? Lots of couples, Kate and I included, before COVID came and got in the way and made things much more difficult, Kate and I have always tried to make sure that we have a date night every week. It's an evening that is free from other people, and it's free from household chores. We don't do the ironing then. It's an evening when we simply enjoy our time with each other. And it's good for our relationship. Now, there are two ways I could go about instigating that pattern of having a date night. One is I could say, right, wife, I've read in a book that couples ought to have a date night each week. So come on, we're going out. I know you don't particularly want to, but it's something we ought to do, and we're going to do it at the same time every week. We won't enjoy it, but we're going to do it. Hurry up, let's go. That's one way, okay? And you may appreciate that approach. You probably won't. Another is to say, Kate, I really enjoy time with you, and wow, it's been a busy week, and it feels like I've hardly spoken to you this week. Wouldn't it be nice to go out and to have some time to ourselves? And actually, I can see that the next few weeks are going to be really busy. I seem to have a million PCC meetings coming up. So why don't we put in the diary, why don't we put in a date night every night in the every week in the diaries for the next few weeks, just to make sure they don't get squeezed out. You see, I love you, and I love spending time with you, and actually spending time with you helps our relationship grow. That's a bit better, isn't it? That's a slightly better way of going about it. You see, we can do the same thing, exactly the same thing, but the reason behind it is what makes all the difference. So one approach is to follow rules and say, I don't care about relationship. The other starts with relationship, and it continues to be all about relationship. And it is exactly the same with Jesus. You can follow the rules without them taking you to him. I mean, that was the Pharisees, wasn't it? They kept the law, they did everything, but they didn't know Christ. And it's so with so many people in our world today. There are all sorts of people who are very strict about what they eat. It might be that they're vegetarian, or that they're vegan, or that they follow a paleo diet, whatever that is. I've got absolutely no idea. There are all sorts of different things, all sorts of different kind of rules people might follow about what they do or don't eat. And they might do so for very good reasons. It might be because of health. It might be out of concern for the environment and stewarding our natural resources and so on. But the question is, do they all know Jesus? Of course not. It's not the case that every vegetarian knows Jesus. Or at least I don't think they do. And there might be people today who choose not to drink. Again, it might be for health reasons, or it might be for financial reasons, or it might even be for religious reasons. You know, Muslims don't drink, for example. But does everyone that doesn't drink know Jesus? Of course not. It simply doesn't follow, does it? The rules do not take you to Christ. You can follow the rules without knowing Christ. But at the same time, a Christian can say this. A Christian can say, Jesus is everything to me. He's the one who really matters to me. And you know, I find drink is something that I have to be careful with. I find it easy to drink too much, and if I do, well, it certainly doesn't draw me closer to Christ. And I'm certainly not going to be in a hurry to pick up my Bible in the morning if I've got a thumping hangover from the night before. And so, do you know what? I'm going to decide not to drink, or at least I'm going to limit how much I'm going to drink. Not because of some rule, not because someone said real Christians don't drink, but because I love Jesus, and I don't want things in my life that take me away from him. Do you see the difference there? One is a rule that doesn't lead to Christ. The other is a relationship that leads to a different way of living. And we can do the same with experiences, can't we? You can chase experiences through any number of different ways. You can chase it through drugs. You can chase an experience through, I don't know, getting an adrenaline rush from jumping off a cliff with a parachute. And if you want to do that, be my guest. But it won't. Well, actually, that might take you closer to Jesus, but not in the way that you were hoping it would. You can seek the experiences, but without them leading you to Christ. Or you can seek to know Christ more and find in him the peace that passes understanding. And this is what we're going to be seeing next week. You see, next week there are things Paul says, do this. And he says, don't do this. But actually, what he's getting at, the things that he calls us to do are the things that help our hearts grow towards Jesus. And the things he says don't do are the things that will distract us from Jesus. You see, he's not next week giving us a new set of rules and saying you must do this, you mustn't do that. He's saying, here are some things you can do that will help you love Christ more. And here are some things that you can do that will make you forget Christ. So think about what you do in the light of those. But all of that is next week. I'm really just trying to make the connection between how today sets up what we see there. Today, what we've seen is that what matters is knowing Jesus. It's not rules, it's not experiences, but it is trusting and loving Christ. To live with Christ as Lord is not about rules and experiences. It is about relationship with Jesus. So says Paul, don't let anyone judge you for not following the rules, and don't let anyone think less of you for not having the experiences. Rather, seek to know Jesus and to know him more. Let me pray. Father, thank you so much for what we've seen again in your word today. Thank you that the Christian life is not a life of rules. It's not a life of things to do and to not do. But it is relationship. Relationship with the one who created the universe. Relationship with the one who set the planets spinning and maintains their spin. Relationship with the one who breathed life into every human being. Relationship that is as close as the relationship between our bodies and our heads. Thank you that that is what we are invited to partake in as we trust in Christ. And Lord, we do pray that you would guard us from being kidnapped into a way of thinking that says we need to trust Jesus and do other things. Lord, please, would we not let people judge us, and would we not let people disqualify us for not following the rules or not having the experiences? But rather, would we be people for whom relationship with Jesus is everything? And would we deliberately do those things that help us to love him more? And would we deliberately turn away from those things that distract us from him? We love you, Lord Jesus, and we want to love you more. Amen.